Section 6. Instances of the seventh particular observed in Mr. W.'s way of disputing, namely, his wholly overlooking arguments, pretending there is no argument, nothing to answer, when the case is far otherwise. Thus, in his reply to my tenth argument, which was this, it is necessary that those who partake of the Lord's Supper should judge themselves truly and cordially to accept of Christ as their Savior and chief good. For this is what the actions which communicants perform at the Lord's table are a solemn profession of. I largely endeavored in pages 75, 76, and 77 to prove this, from the nature of those significant actions of receiving the symbols of Christ's body and blood when offered, representing their accepting the thing signified as their spiritual food, etc., to all which M.R.W. says, pages 74. A. I do not find that Mr. Edwards has said anything to prove the proposition, which is the whole argument offered here in proof of the point proposed to be proved, but only gives his opinion, or paraphrase, of the purport and nature of the sacramental actions. Since Mr. W. esteems as it no argument, I desire it may be considered impartially whether there be any argument in it or no. These sacramental actions all allow to be significant actions. They are a signification and profession of something. They are not actions without a meaning. And all allow that these external actions signify something inward and spiritual. And if they signify anything spiritual, they doubtless signify those spiritual things which they represent. But what inward thing does the outward taking or accepting the body and blood of Christ represent, but the inward accepting Christ's body and blood, or an accepting Him in the heart? And what spiritual thing is the outward feeding on Christ in this ordinance a sign of, but a spiritual feeding on Christ, or the soul's feeding on Him? Now there is no other way of the soul's feeding on Him, but by that faith, by which Christ becomes our spiritual food, and the refreshment and vital nourishment of our souls. The outward eating and drinking in this ordinance is a sign of spiritual eating and drinking, as much as the outward bread in this ordinance is a sign of spiritual bread, or as much as the outward drink is a sign of spiritual drink. And doubtless those actions, if they are a profession of anything at all, are a profession of the things they signify. 600 to say that these significant actions are appointed to be a profession of something, but not to be a profession of the things they are appointed to signify, is as unreasonable as to say that certain sounds or words are appointed to be a profession of something, but not to be a profession of the things signified by those words. Again, Mr. W., in his reply to my answer to the second objection, with like contempt passes over the main argument which I offered, to prove that the nation of Israel were called God's people, and covenant people, in another sense besides a being visible saints. My argument in pages 85, 86 was this, that it is manifest, something diverse from being visible saints, is often intended by that nation being called God's people, and that the family of Israel according to the flesh, not with regard to any moral and religious qualifications, were in some sense adopted by God to be His peculiar and covenant people. From Romans 9 3, 4, 5. I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, etc. I observed that these privileges are spoken of as belonging to the Jews, not now as visible saints, not as professors of the true religion, not as members of the visible Church of Christ, which they did not belong to, but only as a people of such a nation, such a blood, such an external carnal relation to the patriarchs, their ancestors. Israelites according to the flesh, inasmuch as the apostle is speaking here of the unbelieving Jews, professed unbelievers, that were out of the Christian church, and open visible enemies to it, and such as had no right at all to the external privileges of Christ's people. I observe further, that in like manner this apostle in Romans 11:28-29 speaks of the same unbelieving Jews, that were enemies to the gospel, as in some respect an elect people, and interested in the calling, promises, and covenants God formerly gave their forefathers, and are still beloved for their sakes. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. All that Mr. W. says, which has any reference to these things, is that he had read my explication of the name of the people of God, as given to the people of Israel, etc., but that he confesses, it is perfectly unintelligible to him. The impartial reader is left to judge whether the matter did not require some other answer.